another episode.
Did you know that in the beginning of Django Unchained, sorry, not beginning, but in Django Unchained, allegedly the myth is, according to Quentin Tarantino, that Django and what's her name his eventual wife, right, are actually the ancestors of Shaft.
Really?
That's his, like, lore.
Or, like, okay.
That's his, like, that's his little thing, his little Easter egg.
So, in reality, we have Jamie Foxx and lady I can't remember the name of.
It's a thing. Whose last name is Shaft.
Is it?
Like, it's a German thing, but it ends with Shaft.
Huh.
And that's his, like, that. Apparently that's it. Now, I read that on a listicle, so it's probably not true, but it is at least a fun way to start. It's a fun way to start. Sit talk, everybody.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
Kendrick.
And I'm still Kyle after Kendrick.
I'm also still Kendrick after Kyle.
This could go on for a whole episode.
Hopefully it doesn't. We already had our ridiculous episode with my rant 6 months ago, and we don't ever need to do it again.
So one of the best things about recording this is that we recorded on the last day of work for the week. So we're either, like, super burnt out or just incredibly happy to not have to work tomorrow.
Or angry.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Sometimes
it's always that.
Just so mad.
So if you have been listening and you're like, wow, these are weird, keep listening.
That's true, because we are.
Die!
So, Flesh Gordon 2.
No.
We got stickers.
We do. We just have to start the podcast by being incredibly racist, saying a lot of taglines.
Fucking ain't right.
All
right,
so what do we want to talk about? I mean, we have some topics. Let me get that out.
I had an intro, and that's all I had, was an intro factoid that's probably not true.
Well, there's only one way to find out. It's by calling Quentin Tarantino. Hi, Quentin.
Hey guys. That's all I got. That's my best Quentin Tarantino, and it's not good.
And we've had Sean Bean here this whole time.
He's been sitting in the back. God, I'd love to hire Sean Bean just for that.
Right.
Just once. Cool. Just Sean Bean, you want to come ride in our car and record
not
a podcast?
Say anything until.
For no fucking reason at all whatsoever. I'll give you $10,000. All right.
Like, space politics versus U.S. politics.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either.
Was that like Bio of a Space Tyrant?
No, it was. That's why you're talking about that. Okay. It was Bio of a Space Tyrant. Breaking laws and getting caught. Neckbeards. Don't hug me, I'm scared. We haven't had an episode about Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
We still haven't. We never will.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We can do it if you want.
Crafting and making non-playable character, or crafting and making NPCs.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? We were talking about like how no one ever wants to be the shop owner?
Oh, yeah.
I wrote an article about that.
Privacy, it's loss versus the usefulness of it. Will we let Google take our stuff, but not NSA?
We kind of talked about that.
And then morality, trains, and ethics, which is kind of something we hit on after one time.
How many X would you have before in front of Y?
So should we do like a small topic roundup, or should we just start and see where it goes like we usually do?
Well, you can do either of those, man. I'm cool with anything you got. I'm going to go in the left lane because there's a student driver in front of us. And I don't... my driving's not compatible with student drivers. Farts. Let's talk about how long we can be silent before it gets a problem. Neckbeards?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so did we define neckbeards?
I thought we did,
I think we defined neckbeards once.
We should do it again.
Neckbeards, fedora wearers, basement dwellers. I'm not really sure of a better, like, I remember what it was, is we had trouble articulating it, right? Like,
yeah.
Neckbeards are like pornography. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Exactly. Right? Like, and it's not Flesh Gordon.
And nobody wants to see it in public.
And so a neckbeard, I guess, there's like those stereotypical ones you see in the memes, right?
The memes.
The memes, kids.
The meme-verse.
And those neckbeards are like the ones that have, well, neckbeards. And usually...
Fedoras.
Usually have fedoras. They're the people that like... They're those. It goes back to kind of that gatekeeper thing we were talking about a while ago, because they're the people that typically stand on their soapbox and...
In their parents' basement.
Yeah. And so
it's their parents' soapbox, technically.
Yeah. And they just kind of preach things that, like, people then tend to think represent the group, but don't, I think, in their culture anyway.
In your context, what you think of neckbeards as being the vocal minority.
Like, maybe not on the soapbox is a bad thing to say. Like... They're what everyone thinks that male gamers are. Or, like, they're, like, what everyone thinks that male nerds are. Like, when they see it, they're, like...
Negative stereotype.
Yeah, they're the negative stereotype of what, like, our community has become. Not the sense of, like, nerds, but in the sense of, like, you know, sexist males and, like, people who are, like, they don't have the social grace enough to know that, like, a female is just a human instead of the other way around. Like
humans are just females?
Yeah.
We're all females. I don't think that's true.
I think it is. We all
think that's true.
We all have those chromosomes.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's what the leftist right would have you believe.
I don't think that's a thing. I think I'm in the leftist right.
I feel like they get, like, people who... They're like the scapegoat, I guess, of, like, bad behavior in the culture that I'm in. That's how I view them. Like, or that's how I kind of...
Well, yeah, because it's socially acceptable to hate on neckbeards.
It is, and it's...
And it should be.
Part of it is also, like... Yeah, I guess that's fair. And next topic.
Next song. Beard necks.
So, I don't know how they got the term neckbeard, though.
I don't know either. I really, it's one of those things where I understand what they are, but I'm really struggling to define them, you know, like, conceptually.
I think Kendrick hit it on the head with the first thing he said, because it's like pornography. You'll know it when you see it, and it's more of one of those, like...
I mean, they're generally scuzzy, but often I tend to think of them as submissive in person, but, annoyingly vocal on nonverbal media. Like, online or in whatever. Like, they're very opinionated, but they're also very submissive and weak-willed in person. So, like, there's that kind of disconnect. They lack confidence in presence, but they are more than happy to share their often hateful or terrible opinions online. And because, like, of the veil of anonymity that protects them and their sad, sad, flabby little bodies that are all pale and pathetic from no exposure to sunlight or other ideas.
So they're like teenage vampires.
Yeah, but I feel like they're all 30.
Oh, yeah.
But they've not moved out of their mother's basement. I don't know. Like, in my mind, I've got this whole stereotype built up, right, in my mind as to who they are.
It's just, like, the general distasteful behavior that comes from...
Just the worst kind of people.
Yeah. Right? Like, I don't know that neckbeards exist outside of, like, nerddom, though.
I don't know. I mean, they exist...
Do you have, like pro football neckbeards?
I think they're allowed to be out in public. They hang out at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Like, just like frat boys.
Out at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, like, man, but I like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, but, like, you've seen the football equivalent of neckbeards there.
So I guess in that sense, so the equivalent part right there is what makes me think neckbeards only typically exist.
Yeah. Neckbeards, I think, are exclusively related to the nerdier cultures. Like, your software developers, your video game enthusiasts, your Magic the Gathering players, your... LARPers, you know, any of that sort of nerd community.
I keep thinking of ways to describe neckbeards, and I'm like, no, that's not quite it.
Or we can get around the edges of it, but we can't quite grab it by the middle.
I can't really describe the behavior that frustrates me with them, because it's like...
It's subtle, if that's the trick. Maybe that's what it is. They're subtle.
And you exist, but everything you do makes me frustrated.
And maybe there's a lack of authenticity about it, a lack of genuine, like...
Like, almost like kind of like a hipster, but like a hipster that is...
The dark side of hipsters.
Yeah.
Because hipsters... Yeah, they're Sithsters.
Sithsters.
Sithster. Can we make Sithster a thing?
# Sithster.
God, that's going to be a tough one to get through.
Yeah.
Sithster.
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 Yeah, okay.
Just think of having a Sithster, but you have a lisp. But only kicks in halfway through the word. Sithster. Yeah. The sister.
So Sith
neckbeards are the sister. Would that make hipsters neck Jedis?
If that make hipsters
neck Jedis, or would they be Jedi beards? Definitely not Jedi beards. That's way
that
too glorious
way
of a
too
name.
Cool. Yeah.
Because like Jedi beards would be like Qui-Gon Jinn, right?
Yeah.
He's got a Jedi beard.
Obi-Wan Kenobi had a pretty cool
beard. He's a Jedi beard. Jedi beards would be the Jedi, female Jedis that are there so that male Jedis don't look gay.
Yeah, and it's just really weird, too, because they're not allowed to, like, love, so it's, like, really,
so,
really
so wait
weird.
A minute. So, like, would a Jedi beard be the equivalent of, like, making it look like you don't have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
At all, like, you're not seeing anyone? So it's, like, they're, like, a Jedi beard is, like, a dude who's, like, they weren't making out. We were just all hanging out, like, practicing Jedi stuff and shit. So he's like covering for them.
He's the guy that vouches for you.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, no, I was hanging out with him all night. Really, he was sitting at home eating Space Cheetos naked.
Because you have to have Space Cheetos or else, like, why would
you're pathetic enough to be a Jedi beard and just cover for somebody, right? Like,
but I feel like the Jedi beard is probably a noble profession if you don't agree with, like, the Jedi teachings all the way.
Which would make you a Sith.
Or gray. I mean, there's a whole idea of a gray Jedi.
It depends, I suppose, on which canon you're going for.
I think gray Jedis are in most of it, isn't it?
Well, not in the movies.
Oh, that's fair. I guess that's fair.
But I'm reluctant to really accept Sith as a canon. I kind of think that the first 20 minutes of the original Star Wars should be all that's considered canon. Everything else is bullshit.
Wow.
That will be a neckbeard, like, conversation. Like, that was me portraying a neckbeard attitude where I'm like, what? That was needlessly
That's why I keep coming back to that neckbeard, or the neckbeard mentality. The Sister. Gatekeeper mentality.
Yeah.
Is because you're like, you're someone who's, like, actively doing things that are hurting your community without understanding that you won't have a community if
anything.
Yeah. Like, you're like, I want to maintain the community the way it is, but it's not going to do
at,
that.
At its dying rate.
Yeah.
You're like, that's not better.
Yeah. And so, like, that perpetuating the mentality of like, continual downturn of a community that could be great is something that I feel is a behavior of a neckbeard. Because you're like, well, I care more about my personal preferences than I care about having people to play a game with. And you're like, get out of my house.
Would you rather be happy or right?
Yeah. There you go. Sister.
Yeah. Well, in that
neckbeard conversation over.
Next conversation.
Morality, trains, and ethics.
Morality, trains, and ethics.
No.
Okay. I don't know where that fits in the morality train.
Dalton just sent it to me, and
but
that's what you say when you have to choose between killing one baby and five of your moms. would you rather? Okay, so the whole this is gonna get nuts because I feel like going crazy today. But the whole like logical or what is it? The philosophical experiment, ethical experiment is. There's a train going. You can pull a switch to switch to where the train's going. There's two tracks. One of them has the baby on it, and the other one has your mom. Who do you save? Right?
And it's a construct, and it's meant to use. You just swap in any two groups, and then you make changes to you can make subtle changes. Like the track is currently heading towards one. Do you make the switch to go to the other, or do you do nothing and let it stay? Or the track is currently going to kill everyone on the train if you don't pick your mom or the baby, so you've got to pick one of the three, and then you've got all these, like, but the president's on the train, but it's a president you don't like, but he's going to help you, but he's also going to sell weapons to the Libyans. So, like,
oh my God.
It's like you build these convoluted
little
scenarios.
The train turns into a time machine.
Yeah, and the train's going to explode
but
in
then,
all scenarios.
Would you save, would you, okay, so the train is going towards a track with your mom on it, but the other track has five of your moms on it. Which one do you save?
Yeah. One of the moms is clearly an evil clone sent from the future.
But you don't know if it's the single mom or one of the five moms.
So, statistically... No, and so it's one of those things that spirals hideously out of control. When the original thing was meant to provide a sort of gun-to-your-head added approach to moral quantum.
But I guess there's lots of things like that. So that mentality... This is actually going to be a cool conversation where we talk about... this is like what we should talk about before we get on the fucking podcast. But the idea of, like... false equivalencies or something like that when it comes to these situations. Like, because there's a lot of thought experiments that put you in, like, a situation where you're like, you're bad either way.
Yeah, and that's the whole point.
And they're not really productive, are they?
Well, it depends. Because this one's meant to be...
What are you trying to get from it?
Well, that depends, again, on what you're framing and what your purpose of the conversation is, right? Because one of them, you can use it to probe out people's, like, individual moral stances. Where you're like, you can find out if someone's like scary, or you're like, would you choose the one that kills five children or kills 20 men? You're like, is there a way I can kill all of them? And you're like, this guy's not going to be hired here. But
that'd be interesting job. That'd be an interesting interview question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But
have you had that interview question?
No.
Okay.
I don't do interviews. I just get jobs. I it's not necessarily the answer so much as the reasoning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things like you set it up where the train is going to do one thing and you have to act on it to do another.
But what
so
are
like,
some other thought experiments that require
I mean, in this example, it's things like the train's about to go kill one person. Do you pull the switch and have it or it's about to kill 5 people, you pull the switch and have it go kill 1 person. That's one of the original constructs of it. Mm-hmm. A train is currently heading down a track, and it's about to get, it'll kill 5 people if it does that track. You can pull a switch, and it will change it and kill only 1 person. Should you do it? And why?
Is there a right answer?
Well, that's sort of the moral yardstick you can use to check things. Because if you use utilitarianism, yes, you should, because you can save 4 lives. A total of 4 lives.
But is there, what's the other argument?
Well, there's all kinds of other things. One of which is to act on this scenario would mean you have responsibility for your actions, making you a murderer because you killed the one guy.
But doesn't not acting the scenario have the same implication?
It, depending on the moral framework you subscribe to, that's part of the analysis of it, right?
So, in that situation, you should just lay down in front of the train so you don't have to worry about responsibility anymore.
You should get drunk and watch everybody die. That's the Kendrick moral methodology.
What is that called?
I haven't bothered to come up with a name because I'm too drunk to come up with a name.
Relative whiskeyism?
Mm-hmm.
You drink enough until everything's relative?
Whiskey-based relativism. But there are a couple of those, like the Prisoner's Dilemma, which I always forget.
Okay, I'm playing a fucking game called Zero Something Virtue / Reward. The whole game's revolving around this dude has kidnapped 9 of you, right? And this is a DS game I'm playing right now. They've put out the rules for this fucking stupid game. Doesn't matter, right? But the whole idea is that you vote after you've gone through these rooms, and you vote ally or betray, right?
Okay.
And it's just very basic Prisoner's Dilemma scenario, where if you both ally, you all get 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get 9 points to escape this thing, because mm-hmm. it's very trite and cliche. And if you betray, the person who betrays... I'm sorry, if you both betray, you get 0 points. But again, Prisoner's Dilemma at work. If one of you betrays and the other one allies, the person who betrayed gets 3 and the person who allies gets -2. Right?
Right.
So it really behooves everybody, if the rules are explained correctly, to just always ally.
Yes, but they won't.
And that pisses me off. So much.
Yep.
Why?
Why do they do that, or why does it piss you off?
Why? I know why it pisses me off so much. Why would you all not just agree to always vote out?
Humans are fundamentally self-destructive.
But, like, yeah, I guess, like, I never really liked the Prisoner's Dilemma, too, because it's, like, very simple. Neither of you betray the other one, and you both get off scot-free. Like, there's no dilemma to me. Like, I don't like that as a paradigm, because...
It's not one that's prescriptive. It's descriptive. They're analyzing people's behavior.
Yeah. But when you put
Those are based on experiments, right?
Sure.
And so they watched people do it.
Yeah. But, like, having... And that's where I always thought about psychology was a weird thing, because, like, it's like you observe the system from outside of it, and then you teach people about that system, and then they can no longer ever affect that system the same way they could before.
Right.
Which is, like, you're always thinking about the Prisoner's Dilemma. I mean, you know about it. But if you never heard of it, it's perfectly, like, it's just a thing. But if you've heard of it, now you think about it, which adds another layer of complexity to your decision-making process.
Sure.
But I always thought that was interesting.
I wonder...
Advertising, does it work on people who understand advertising?
It does, actually.
I know, and that's the weird part to me, is that, like, I'll sit there and watch commercials that annoy me, then go out and get a hamburger that they just talked to me about for 5 commercials in a row, and I'm like, God damn it.
Did I make that decision? No, you didn't. Nobody did. What I'm looking at is, for me, my personal thing is, it's based on some experiments, and I wonder how often those experiments have been reproduced, and who the test candidates were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they test exclusively on graduate students? Because I would bet most graduate students are backstabbing sons of bitches, right? Like,
yeah,
above average.
Because it's kind of, a lot of people even tell you this as graduate students, it's kind of in their nature to...
backstab.
To, like, try to be the best. And, like...
And they do that by undermining other people.
Yeah.
Like, that's the MO of grad students.
But if you did it with, like, a team of people who work together every day, and they get shit done...
So that, for me, I would like to do that with different groups. Like,
yeah, that would be cool.
Software developers and salespeople and, like, different groups of people and see how they behave.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun experiment.
Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
But
so get ready. You're going to become part of Kendrick and I's social experiment.
And when
soon.
We say that, we mean lay down on the ground, because we are going to send teams to black bag you and retrieve you for these experiments.
Retrieval.
Yes.
Very basic stuff, people.
They're called retrieval teams.
All right, so that's about enough about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. What time? How much time have we been talking for?
I have no idea. 19 minutes and 27 seconds.
I like to talk just a little vignette, if you will.
A zignet?
A viginet.
A vignette.
Nope, and you're going the wrong direction there.
we're not going to work here anymore.
About breaking the laws versus getting caught.
Breaking the law.
So, I am of the strange and mostly disagreed with opinion that if you yourself don't ever recognize you broke a law, and you never got caught breaking the law, then you never actually broke the law.
Interesting.
So if I speed and nobody else is speeding, or if nobody else is around me, if I speed in a vacuum and I choose not to recognize that I've broken a law, then I've never broken a law.
You choose not to recognize, or you don't realize?
I choose not to recognize. Okay. I'm actively saying, I don't care about this. I don't care that this is a law. I don't care that somebody else told me that this is illegal. How about that?
Okay.
So, like, I'm doing something like turning right on a, like you turning here. If I don't get caught by the people who judge laws, mm-hmm, as someone who has broken the law, like...
like I was going to honk my horn, but they started moving. But
did I really break the law if nobody has actually done anything to enforce that law?
Well, I mean, that's another philosophical question.
I know.
If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Well, of course it might.
Yep, killing us today.
Well, guys, it was nice having this discussion with
almost
you.
Made it to 50.
Kendrick is going to murder me. I guess you can do it by yourself. The last three can just be Kendrick going slowly insane as he drives to work by himself.
Going? On Fridays. No, I think...
I just think it's interesting.
Well, that's an interesting philosophical thing.
That we choose to recognize breaking the law when nobody would have gotten in trouble for anything.
Well, who does that?
Everyone will do. Like, you won't speed because you're scared of getting caught, right? Well, if you could never get caught, would you be scared of speeding?
Now, hold on. That depends. There's multiple reasons why you wouldn't speed.
Well, let's assume that...
For the most part, I don't speed because I'm assuming that the speeds selected were based off of some sort of safety evaluation.
Sure.
So I don't tend to speed too much, but there are times where...
But you are speeding right now.
Yeah. So I would say that the times that I'm speeding and the times that I'm not speeding...
Do you feel like you're breaking the law
right now? The times that I'm speeding and the times that I'm not speeding aren't based exclusively on whether I'm concerned that I'm going to get caught. There are other factors that go into it.
But... As from a fundamental level, are you breaking the law? Were you breaking the law 5 seconds ago when you were going 47 and a 45?
I'm not going to confirm that on the radio or on the podcast. But I don't
so
think...
So if there's evidence, you can't be accused, right?
Well, I don't know if that's actually permissible in court, but as a general habit, I avoid
incriminating. Well, look at that helicopter.
It's like a Chinook or something, isn't it?
So I just think it's interesting that people choose to recognize that they did something wrong when nobody could have ever known they did it. Besides them.
I find that interesting... Do you often encounter people recognizing that they did something wrong?
No, just that I do something wrong. And then I'm like... Like, you're fine in sitting here free to, like, judge people. Like, you were speeding.
Sure.
But, like, you would never have cared about that if I wasn't in the car. So it's interesting that only other people can tell you you're breaking the law unless you decide to tell yourself that. Like, to me, that's interesting that...
I think it's because you found one of the victimless crimes.
Oh, because I'm just been in the situation where I'm currently looking at a victimless crime. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're using a victimless crime as an example,
sure,
but
I
think there are plenty of crimes that aren't victimless where that doesn't affect. Like, if I kill somebody and nobody saw me do it except the person I killed...
Did you break a law?
It seems a little less gray area-y, doesn't it?
Why?
Because I killed somebody.
Yeah, but, like, that's just your morality saying that that's wrong, right?
Well, no, but I mean, like, I killed somebody. I guess it's if you're saying... Okay, so are you talking about it from a metaphysical standpoint of transgressions, or I guess, let's see. You broke a law
that's
in either scenario,
kind of the kicker,
right? You broke a law in either scenario.
Sure.
True or false?
Well, that's the whole.
Well, that's where I'm coming.
If somebody who would enforce the law caught you doing the thing you're doing, you would have broken the law. Yes.
But until then, you haven't.
That is my proposition.
So if I kill you right now,
innocent until proven guilty.
Then I haven't broken a law
until someone figures out that you really haven't broken a law until you've been convicted.
That's true, but then you retroactively did.
Or did you? Yeah, I guess that's fair.
You didn't break the law then.
I think I can agree with that for the sake of what we're talking about. Yeah.
Kind of a strange...
Isn't it, though?
Metaphysical.
But that's the whole idea, though, is that the system's kind of weird, because you can be innocent for a while.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, oh, wait, you were guilty for 5 months.
Yeah, you've been guilty. You've always been guilty.
Yeah. Let's just pretendsies that you've always been guilty.
That's like an epistemological, yeah, interesting.
And that's why it's like, if this is the question I always ask people, and I have my own answer that I know. If someone said, You could, I'm going to leave you in a room with this person, and you can murder them, and you will never, ever get caught and never get convicted, and no one will ever know besides you and the person that you killed. Not even me. I will never know if you did it or not. Like, for various reasons, right?
Sure.
Would you kill the person or not?
I mean, I would say no.
On the radio.
I mean, I would just say no. unless I had a reason to, I would not.
Experience?
The experience of murdering somebody with your hands?
Sure.
Well, I already had that, so...
I mean, there... Well, that's... I mean, you're in a weird case, then. Because if you've already killed someone, then you've already done what I said, right?
No.
No.
So, I mean...
That's the thing I like to ask people, is, like, is if you could get away... If you could unequivocally get away with something that was... Shit, that was, like, that bad, that you would actually have to... Like, you would be the one that made this choice, right? Would you do it or not? And you would never get in trouble, ever. Like... You're the one that would be condemning yourself. Would you be... That's, like, the kind of...
Well, I suppose that really depends on whether your moral authority is internal or external. I mean...
You think so?
Because if you believe in God, God knew you did it.
Isn't that kind of just fodder for the argument that if there was no God, everything would fall into anarchy?
You know, because if you believe that murder is wrong and that you shouldn't do it, and then you did it... You would have to live with yourself having done something that you consider wrong.
Does it scare you to think I won't ever kill someone because I'd get in trouble and not because it's wrong?
No, because practically it's pretty much the same.
That's fair. Okay.
I mean, it's a contrived scenario, but the other part is that's assuming you can somehow just kill somebody, like, without them trying to stop you.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of argument, we'll just say that person is, like, you know, not able to defend themselves. Whether that be because they're invalided or...
You just killed a helpless person.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That makes me go into an interesting realm of morality, though, where, like, people are okay stepping on bugs every day of their life, but as soon as it comes to someone, like, a human, like, yeah. The morality shifts drastically.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what is life then, right?
And suffering and...
Yeah. Suffering. Oh, my God. That's a really crazy one.
Yeah.
That gets me into the vegan argument, like, of, like...
Yeah.
I'm fine murdering a tree or a plant because I can't hear them scream.
Because it doesn't have a face.
But ants, no way. I'll never eat an ant.
Yeah, I ain't eating no ant fruit. That's weird.
That's like their testicles, right?
Sure. Actually, it would be, yeah. Their ovaries.
I thought that was always an interesting thing, too. It's like, if we could prove a tree could scream, would you not eat plants anymore?
Yeah, what do you do?
How would you function if we were to prove that a plant could feel pain?
And then there's an interesting aspect of that, which is kind of fucked up, but you can also look at, like, ontology, the ontological argument in favor of eating meat, because we created these animals, and we bred them, and we've kept them healthy and everything for the sole purpose of eating them. Mm-hmm. That is their purpose. That is why they exist.
Yeah.
At our discretion.
So are we fucking everything up by trying to not eat them now?
Well, if we don't eat them, we're denying them their purpose, but they probably don't give a fuck because they're an animal. Wait. They don't give a fuck about their purpose. Who cares? And then the whole nature of suffering gets weird fast.
I read this really crazy no sleep story about this, and it was like this dude who was a vegan. And if you've never heard of no sleep, it's a subreddit where people write horror stories, and you're supposed to read them and visit if they're real, and it kind of gives this atmosphere of ooh. But this was the one that was kind of on the weird one. This girl broke into this like slaughterhouse. Right? Turns out the slaughterhouse is run by this like Jewish group of people who had cryo-frozen Hitler, and like they had then figured out a way to unfreeze Hitler's brain and then clone him into a bunch of cows that they were then slaughtering in the slaughterhouse. And they thought it was okay because they cloned Hitler as many times as there were Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, and were going to kill each one while the main clone Hitler watched all the deaths and then finally killed the main clone Hitler.
Wow.
And I thought that was like, you know, really interesting, because it was like, you know, they were like treating these Hitler cows like the buffalo from the Native Americans, like how they use every piece of it. They were going to, like, you know, make sure that none of it went to waste, but they were still just fucking torturing these cows, like doing stuff that you would never actually do in a slaughterhouse, like chopping off their legs at the knee and letting them walk around, peeling their skin off while they're still alive.
Wow.
All this terrible stuff, because it's, of course, a horror story, right? But, like, I thought that was an interesting... Like, one of those, like, moral gun to your head scenarios. Right?
Yeah, that's
like
a weird one. That is, like, a weird one.
If we cloned cloned Hitler and he was a cow, would you kill him?
Like, and why would that be moral to do that?
Yeah.
Why is suffering acceptable
for
suffering?
What if we cloned him as a human? Would you kill him then? Like, that was kind of the thing. Is like, if we cloned him and he was, like, a cockroach, would you kill him? if we cloned him and he was a duck, would you kill him? And you could, he would still talk, right? Like, you could talk to you and tell you how
sure,
bad all
I mean,
the
but
were.
Like, does he, does the, do the clones deserve to be killed because their source material was evil?
Yeah, and if they do, what do you draw the line in animal type, I guess, or size, or you go off in other directions like that. And that's where you come up on Sisok, like, really fucked up gun to your head scenarios about cloning Hitler's brain into other animals.
Yeah.
Is that, is
and
that
that's, it? That's
oh,
like
yeah,
30
wow.
minutes, so
wow.
I guess
there you
that's
go.
Like, that's
where
like
we leave you.
Textbook, that's a great, horrifying, disturbing place to be, and that's it. Gun to your head, would you kill a cloned Hitler who was also a cow?
Would you eat him as a hamburger?
And would you eat him as
done?
A hamburger? And here's the most important part, is it kosher? All these questions and more will never be answered on Sitsock. This
bye,
is Kyle.
Everybody.
This is Kyle.
I'm Kyle too.
Also Kyle too. Bye.
Bye.